What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night. It's August 19th, 2025. And you're listening or watching the Boiler Breakdown podcast. We are back. It's been since, I think, April 1st, if I'm not mistaken, since our last pod. So a little hiatus. Refresh the buttons, but we're back. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Aaron Lynch, Evan Webb in the house. Fellas, how we doing?
Happy to be back. And it was April 1st. I just checked. That's the one our last episode released. So we probably recorded that day before.
Probably.
So yeah, it's been a long break, but it's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it's funny. Every year when we take the break, I'm like, okay, we can do a few episodes over the summer, get some interviews lined up, and then it's just like,
I'm pretty sure we had talked about, like, we definitely gotta do one once, like, it's official that, like, Braden and Fletcher and Trey and TKR are all back and talk about the additions, and didn't happen. I think we talked about, yeah, because we talked about doing one like post portal for both football and basketball, and that was like 4 months ago.
Well, when the football team has 83 new guys,
yeah,
hard to keep up a little bit, and which we will talk about. But Aaron, how you doing?
Doing good. Excited for what my favorite time of the year coming up is, Labor Day weekend, the kickoff of the college football season, even though week zero is this weekend. But
we do have a ranked conference matchup this weekend, which is weird.
In Ireland.
Yeah, weird. Yeah. Weird.
What was the Ireland game last year? That was the...
It was Florida State, Georgia Tech.
That's when we knew Florida State was going to suck. Yeah. After that game. Because I think they were ranked ninth going into that game. And then mad season for Mike Norvell down there in Tallahassee. But yes, this is our Purdue football season outlook, season preview, season discussion, season debate, whatever you want to call it. We'll be going over the schedule, giving our rankings predictions, giving maybe some bold predictions, whatever we want to talk about. And then next week, we will be getting more in the weeds about the week one matchup with the Ball State Cardinals. And another programming alert, if anybody is interested in tuning in, next week, a few of us, if not all three of us, will be joining a Ball State YouTube show with Jonathan Clausen. It's called the Ball State of the Union. That'll be Tuesday night. Let me check what time. I don't remember what time we... 8:30 Tuesday night. So I'm not, and I got to be honest, I'm not sure if he records his shows live or records them, then post them later. I don't know. But looking forward to seeing what the Ball State Cardinals are all about and breaking it down with him and then breaking it down amongst ourselves as well. Probably Wednesday or Thursday next week. Oh, well, Aaron's got golf league Thursday, so maybe Wednesday next week. I don't know. We're so organized on here.
Did you know Ball State's coached by – do you know Ball State's coached by a Purdue alum?
Nope.
Yep, their coach is a Purdue alum. Did not play, but he graduated from Purdue, at least according to Golden Black. So that's has to be a first in quite a while for an alum to coach against Purdue.
I knew their special teams coordinators from Fort Wayne. I knew that, but
Well, Barry's undefeated against the MAC, so let's continue it.
And Purdue's undefeated against Ball State all time. I think it's 8-0. So, yeah, we'll get more in depth next week about the week one game, but going into this season, how are we feeling? What's the biggest question mark? Is there a biggest question mark, or is it just all question marks for you guys? Let's just jump right into it.
Go ahead, Lynch. You go first.
Oh boy, there's a lot of question marks. I think when Evan and I did the announcement of Ryan Walters being relieved of his duties,
which feels like 3 years ago.
Yeah,
it really does.
In the roster turnover and what we have now of 82 new players, it feels like this is the first time, and I know we've all lived through, not counting Tiller, five coaching changes. This is the one that I feel the most uncertain about, and this is the one I feel that it has to be right. You say, like, the Brom had to be right. The amount of money that we're down, like, college athletics is because of private equity and everything coming into play, this is big time, because with football changing, the Big Ten, both, it's coming down Big Ten, SEC. The Barry Odom Hioneers is to set up this program to compete for not 6-6, kind of one, like one era did, but we need to be able to compete for championships. And I think it's going to take time. Hopefully that's something that this administration is patient with, especially with the amount of turnover. But I know they've put a lot of money into the program and facilities and things. So I think we're sitting here a little as fans. Well, I think pours us because what's happening in Bloomington. But I also think we probably have the right guy because he's lived through his mistakes.
I'm more confident in this hire than I was the Ryan Walters hire.
Same.
Just because.
Although I will say it depends on Walters when we hire. Granted, it's, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but remember when we hired him, I was like, you know, hey, he's not a. Yes, he hasn't been a head coach, but he's young. He can relate to players, right, like in this new world of NIL. Like, we kind of knew, you know, there was rumblings that obviously that, you know, Brahm and co weren't the biggest fans of NIL, or maybe, you know, were, you know, not the so eager to pay out according to, you know, what people had to say. So I was like, you know, this, you know, new staff and all that, but then obviously it was a utter disaster, despite the first year having some good moments, but after what we saw last year, it was just an absolute disaster. I thought, yeah, going into getting Barry Odom, I thought, like, okay, I think he, you know, this year may not be, you know, we're not going to have a, you know, like you said, Lynch, like Cignetti first year. This is not going to hit me this year just because of the schedule, the way the schedule lines up and all that kind of stuff. But I still think it could be a, you know, a step in the right direction, hopefully. You know, obviously, we still have to see the results on the field, but it's pretty hard to get worse than last year.
Correct. And I'm going to take us back to just the end of last year. None of us had Barry Odom on our bingo card as our head coach that we wanted.
He was number two on my list.
He wasn't your first choice.
Jeremy Chadwell was, but he was number two. I came up with five candidates and he was number two. So
and
I was happy.
I wanted
Airport. You wanted the military boys. Yeah. You wanted Calhoun and Monken.
Yes. And, well, Army's probably going to be ranked this year, so we'll see. You can take that one to the bank. I think as fans, we've lived through this, and we're like, we've only seen, I would say, one success story in this pan out in our time. I mean, again, we're too young, I'll say this, to remember Tiller, because we're all under the age of 10 at that point. But where we look at this, like what he's done on interviews with, you know, folks on podcast campus, what he spoke at the Big Ten media days, I think we got to be reassured that I think this is the right change. This is the right change from what we've seen the last two regimes of undisciplined and costing us games in the end. Tanner, I know you brought up Syracuse in our chat with Brahm, cost us the game. Walters many times put guys out there that cost us the game defensively, not in the right position. And all we can hope is he puts the team in a position that, hey, we're probably going to get beat talent-wise against the big-time programs. But if we don't beat ourselves, we're going to stay in games and have a chance every time.
Yeah, you'd hope like a game like Oregon State last year doesn't happen with a more disciplined team where just boneheaded mistakes or fluky play. I mean, that fumble or interception, whatever, was off the shin of Mockabee or whatever it was. That was just dumb. But just God, stuff like that. Yeah. Well, I haven't clicked that, but I saw a YouTube video that was titled like 50 worst plays of the 2024 college football season. And for my first thought, I wonder if that plays in there. I haven't checked it out, but I was like, that's why I was on my top.
We might have multiple plays on that. I guarantee him more sets. He thought was a touchdown against Penn State. That might be top 10.
Yeah. It has to be.
But yeah, games like that, you'd hope like would flip in Purdue's direction, put in Purdue's favor with a more experienced staff or more disciplined team. But yeah, I think you're right. Like the talent, there's going to be a pretty wide talent gap during some games, which is, I mean, there's always been with Purdue, just kind of just the nature of, you know, where Purdue's at in the realm of Big Ten football. But you'd hope that they're not like beating themselves in the games that, you know, against your peer programs.
Well, I since we're on the subject of being ourselves, I actually went in and looked at what Barry's both at Missouri and UNLV his first years, and kind of looked at those stats of like, hey, what is the average penalties we're like averaging on both sides of the ball? In 2016, we're in the mean of around six on both sides of the ball. And when he went in UNLV at 2023, it was on seven on offense and five on defense. So we're still at double-digit penalties, and, you know, that's going to add up over the game. And I'm guessing that's breaking in players, breaking in staff, like in a regime. Like, it, we hope that – I would say we see this in September, and by the time we get to November, that's been nipped in the butt. These guys are playing hard. We're focused. We have our system in place. We're not committing, you know, penalties and backing up and stalling drives. We're giving, you know, big plays up because of penalties and pass interference calls. So hopefully we start out, because the schedule, how it lays out, those are, you know, little to none, but playing Notre Dame is going to be hard, I would say, with those penalties and up there in South Bend.
Yeah, Notre Dame we're probably looking at 27, 28 point underdogs, probably.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
I will
just be on the road. Yeah.
I will say the turnover ratio was under one in both cases. So that's positive to say, like, his theme of hard, smart, tough is definitely probably going to, you know, resonate with this team.
And that's the thing. I hope Purdue fans are patient with Barry, because, yeah, in the college football landscape now of, you know, Wild West, free agency, pretty much, you can turn the program around really fast, and in some cases a year if you strike lightning in a bottle. But catch lightning in a bottle, not strike lightning in a bottle. I knew what I meant. But I think what I'm trying to focus is, yeah, I want to see improvement this year. Don't want to, you know, get blown out at least multiple times. But like going into next year, keep that turnover rate down. Mm-hmm. If you could keep it like at 10 or less, I think that's pretty good. And that's what I want to see going forward. Like, that's how you're going to be able to build a program still. And I like how he and the staff are still focused on building through recruiting in high school and using the portal as needed. Cause I think at a program at Purdue, that's the only way you're going to win. And win consistently is still building through high school recruiting. I don't think Purdue's ever going to be a school where you can consistently go out every year and get really good or elite talent out of the portal. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have to get those guys that either are coming up a level, like from a UNLV to Purdue, or you're getting a guy who played at an Auburn or a Bama or Georgia as Purdue's had, and like didn't play at all. And then you're just hoping that the talent that was apparent in high school, you know, can show itself in college.
When you're talking about roster turnover, it's just, are we ready to pay like some of these kids? I mean, I'll be honest. I never thought Dean was going to leave.
Yeah. He was one I thought, like, out of like the big names, I was like, there's no way the kid leaves. He's a Purdue guy, like Purdue family. Like,
sounds like he had his mind made up halfway through the year last year.
Yeah. And turns out he was gone before. Probably he's gone before the final horn blew in Bloomington. So.
I mean, and I get it, like, especially if he can be a first or second round pick. You go to Oregon, he's going to be ranked top five, top 10. You're on national television. Well, everybody's on national television anymore, but you're on primetime games all the time. You're going to get more exposure out there and more eyeballs on you. So I get it. I thought the ones that hurt even worse were Max Clair and Will Helt.
Yeah.
I mean, Max Clair's sibling still on Purdue's roster. Will Helt's from down the road in Carmel. Mm-hmm. I mean, to lose those guys to Clemson and to Ohio State, especially to Ohio State, who you play this year at home, yeah, that hurts. That hurts. I mean, if you're just able to keep two of those three, if you're able to keep all three of them, they might win you another game or two by themselves this year, but it is what it is. I don't know if any of them even met with Odoman's staff. I don't remember. I don't recall reading that.
I think Helt was the only one that met with him.
I think Helt. Yeah, because I know Thiemann was like, I think he had decided before Bowden was even hired. I don't think Claire ever. Claire might have. I don't know.
Why did I think there was a picture of Thiemann shaking hands with Odom?
I think he was hired on social media. I think it was. I think it was like a workout. It was like, are they?
Because everybody's like, "Oh my gosh!" Yeah. Like, maybe he's gonna stay.
And, yeah, I don't think. But I don't think he ever like actually met with them. Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's just, you know, but, message board.
But it's interesting, Lynch, when you're bringing up coaches and everything. And really, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Purdue's usually as only good as its quarterback, historically. Mm-hmm. If you look through the years, I mean, even prior to Joe Tiller, back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, they had no success until 97. Billy Joe Dickin was a pretty good one-year quarterback. And then a guy named Drew Brees took over, and the rest is history. Kyle Orton after him, Curtis Painter after him. Say what you will about Curtis Painter, but he was still an NFL, multi-year NFL quarterback. NFL quarterbacks. So,
and Sindelar could have been one. Yeah, healthy.
David Blough. Yeah,
I mean, Danny Hope made back-to-back bowls without an NFL quarterback, but he had NFL talent on the team.
I was going to say that he did have a quarterback, but he was hurt.
Right. So, here's a trivia question for you guys. I'm going to try to come up, if I can remember every week, football and basketball season, I'm going to try to come up with a trivia question for you every week. What season was the last time Purdue started out 2-0, and who were those two games against?
I know the answer. I know the year.
I don't know either, to be honest.
It was 2020.
Okay, that's right.
False.
Oh, it's not 2020?
I thought it was 2020 as well. Until I,
so you said it on another one of your podcasts. So
I know I did. I know. I know. I should have fact-checked myself, but I didn't.
I take that answer back because it was your fault.
Yep. 2020, we did go start off 2-0 and beat Iowa and Illinois, but there's been a year since.
Well, it wasn't neither Walters era, so was it? Was it 22?
No, 22 lost the Penn State game one.
Yeah, 21.
22. Okay,
21. So it was Oregon State?
Correct.
And then who did we play next? This was the first year back from COVID.
Yep.
So I remember I like wanted to cry when I walked into Ross Aid that night for the Oregon State game. So like I never know if I'd be back.
Yeah, I know.
Gosh, who did we play that second game? 21. Okay. Hold on. UConn.
At UConn. Killed him.
Yep.
Killed him. Yep. Yep.
And was Notre Dame the next week three?
Yep. At Notre Dame. Yep. That's where I got confused in my head. I thought Notre Dame was week two and UConn week three for some reason in my head. That's where I got confused. So. Yep.
I totally forgot about that we won against Oregon State. For some reason, I thought we lost, but then when we said we did, so like, okay.
And we're going down rabbit holes already, but how far back could you guys go naming week one starters for Purdue? For
week quarterback. One starters? Quarterback. Oh, man. Like right now, not very far, so I'd probably second guess myself. But if you
guys could tag team it. You guys could tag team it.
Fresno State. 23, Hudson Card.
You forgot last year.
Hudson Card.
Yes, Hudson Card.
Yeah. Against Indiana State.
I thought you were wanting the actual
22 team. Was Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, Penn State.
21. Was that
Plummer?
This is where
Jack Plummer.
This is where I get confused. Yeah. Yeah. Jack's 2020. Oh, God.
2020 was Plummer because this was the year that he held the ball in the fourth quarter against Rutgers and took a sack, and I about lost my mind.
I believe Aiden started the year, and then Aiden broke his foot against Northwestern.
In 2020?
I think Aiden started the year against Iowa. David Bell, and then Plummer had to take over because Aiden broke his foot against Northwestern in the game they wore the Rose Bowl throwbacks.
2019, that was Sindelar, wasn't it?
Yeah, against Nevada. Yep.
Sindelar started 2017.
We're going to 2018 now. Okay. 2018, so that would have been Brahm's second year. So that would have been, was that Blough?
Was Sindelar against Northwestern. Blough finished the game. Sindelar threw three picks.
Yeah, that's when Rondale Moore emerged onto the scene. Yeah, I remember that. 2017 was Louisville. Sindelar?
Yeah, it's crazy to think he started week one 3 years in a row.
Yeah, but didn't like finish. I know he did play. He did play a lot that year because that was the year that was Brom's first year. That were
correct
because
Blau got hurt that year, didn't he?
Yeah, against Illinois.
Yeah.
Then Sindelar played on a torn ACL.
And that's right.
Because we beat Iowa and IU to get a bowl eligible that year.
Anthony Mahungu. Yep.
Yep. Then beat Arizona in the bowl game.
Yeah. 2016. So it was Hazel's last year.
His last four games or whatever it was, five games.
Yeah.
Etling
was that also Blau? That was Blau.
That was David Blau. That was the last time quarterbacks played.
Started. Yeah.
Yep.
2015 was Austin Appleby, who's on staff. Yep. Except remember first game. First throw. First throw against Marshall. Pick six.
Mm-hmm. all eggs in the basket.
Yeah, I remember because I was at my now wife, her family, because it was Labor Day. It was Labor Day weekend, I think. Yeah, so we were at her family farm, and that whole she was an IU grad, but that whole side of her family is Purdue grad. So we were watching on TV, like game was going to start. Like, all right, you know, this is all of it. And the first play, and we're just like, I just left the room. I was just like,
I was extremely hungover from a concert the night before, and I was puking a lot that morning. Almost 100% sure I puked after that pick six for multiple reasons. So I was at a buddy's house. So. A buddy of all three of ours.
Yeah, 2014.
2014 would have been, is that Henry last year?
No, that was 2013. Because that was Cincinnati. I was at that game. It was like 8 million degrees outside and we sucked.
So, all right, we got 13.
2014. Was that also Appleby? Or was it Etling? It was Etling.
Danny Etling against, I believe, Western Michigan. I believe.
Okay.
12 with Kurt Busch.
Is that Boat Boy? Yeah, Boat Boy was there then, wasn't he then? Or
was yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was there. Yeah, he was. And we beat him. Hazel beat Fleck. 2012. It was not Kurt Busch.
Oh, it wasn't.
He was ineligible against Eastern Kentucky. It was Robert Marv.
Okay.
2011 was Kurt Busch, though.
Correct, against Middle Tennessee.
It was a hot one.
That was very hot.
2010. This was Marv
against Notre Dame.
Oh, it was. That's right.
Marv against Notre Dame.
I'm thinking 2009 was Joey Elliott.
Yep. Yes. Against Ralph Bolden game. Anybody?
Oh, is that Central Michigan?
Same conference.
What year is
Toledo,
this?
Toledo.
2009. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
2008.
Painter.
Yep.
I can't remember the game though.
Northern Colorado.
Okay. 2007 was also Painter.
Yep.
2007, that would have been.
It was a road game.
2007.
We watched this game together, Webby.
Is that Toledo?
Yep.
That was the. Dustin Keller. Yeah.
Yes. That was the year you sent in your thing to ESPN that Mark May read.
Yes. Yes, it was. He was nice. Robert Smith was an asshole. Yeah.
I remember that because you taped that, DVR'd it at that
time. Yes, I did. Yeah, I sent in a dark horse about Curtis Painter for Heisman. Mark May was nice about it. And then before the season, I sent in something about Purdue being a sleeper to win the Big Ten. Robert Smith's like, yeah, they're a sleeper, and they're not going to wake up.
Yep.
Evan's dad had that recorded for me. I still got it on a DVD somewhere.
Yep.
I'll have to pop it in sometime and put it on here.
I miss Mark May. I think since
I always wanted him to punch Lou Holtz. I was just waiting for the day he knocked him out.
I think since we're going back here, I want to stop this train, and I want to go to our blind rankings.
All right.
No, God.
I think it's going to be along these lines. So we're going to talk about eras. And I'm going to have you rank where, since we're starting a new era, a coaching era, I want you all to go back in time to the start of these five eras. And I want to rank your optimism of where you thought this was at that time and where we were going to go.
Okay.
So do not we know what the results were of four.
Yeah, but going into it.
Yes.
Tanner is always pie in the sky. It's gonna be hard for him.
This one's
no kidding.
So all right. You follow where I'm going with this. Your optimism of that given time of, hey, we're coming off whatever year. This is the new person in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll start with this era, 2025. Where are we ranking it in optimism?
Honestly, this one might be my five.
Mm.
I'm going to put it four. It's the toughest situation, I think, that somebody inherited. We can only go up.
Yeah.
Is it the toughest situation? We'll find out.
I think so. I mean, I saw one guy call it the toughest rebuild he's ever seen.
I thought 17 was.
At least you still had NFL talent.
Yeah.
Just, a different numbskull that wore his hat like a jackass. I didn't know what he's doing.
Now that like money's involved in the one-time transfer, like the fact that like you can obviously bring people in, but like the fact that you couldn't like you have to worry about more likely than have to worry about like your three best players taking money to go to Oregon,
right?
Like, at least so I'm gonna put this my five to be different. I'm put this my five. Yeah.
All right. 2017.
That's my five. I remember getting excited a day or two after Jeff Brohm was hired, but I remember the day he was hired. I'm like, what? Who? Like, West Kentucky? I didn't know much about him. We had won 9 games the previous 4 years combined. Did not think he was going to turn around in 1 year. I mean, what he did was pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
So I was not optimistic at all.
I'll put this my 4. Just because of like, I was like, I mean, it's hard to be worse. It's like going into this year. So like, I was like, I wouldn't say, I mean, I was excited to have Hazel out of there. But it was just more like, I'll wait and see. Cause at that, I mean, that point I was just so, I mean, obviously the most checked out I've ever, I mean, I checked out is, you know, all relative. Like I was still paying attention to every single game, but like, it was the most apathetic I had ever been as a fan. Aside, I mean, this last year got pretty bad. But it's different between being an adult and being, you know, a fresh out of college type of kid. So I'll put that one 4.
Okay. I will say I remember the hire and I didn't. I was like, this guy's Brian Brown's brother. And I was like, that's really all I knew about him. I didn't know about the XFL. I just knew he was Brian Brown's brother. And I was like, why didn't we go get Troy Calhoun? Like this guy had won.
Now, if you'd asked me this after I saw the XFL video, that'd probably be like number 2 for me. Because I was fired up after I saw that video.
Actually, I would have been fine with Calhoun back then. The last 2 hires, absolutely not.
That was also a time where I wasn't really paying attention to coaching searches. I was getting a lot of my information from Tanner, like in the boards, because I wasn't on the message boards or anything like that. That was like right when I discovered like Boiled Sports too, was around that time where I really started listening to podcasts. Cause it was, you know, at that point I was starting to work. So I had a lot of driving and all that. So yeah, I really didn't know a whole lot of outside of what Tanner was telling me.
I literally was just a month into podcasting when Jeff Brohm got hired. So yeah, I was a baby at this.
Well, I will say, he proved us all wrong, which things would have ended a little bit differently, but writing was on the wall. All right.
I still root against Louisville.
2009, Danny Hope.
This is the hire I remember the least about. I mean, this was when I wasn't on Golden Black. Yeah, my dad was. I just knew Danny Hope had been an assistant at Purdue at one time and coached at Eastern Kentucky. I just figured Brock Speck would get the job the whole time. After Tiller was going to retire, he wasn't even, I believe it came down to Danny Hope and Paul Chris. Paul Chris said no, I believe. But, you know, I still thought Tiller had a good roster. So I'll put that at number 2, optimistic.
Also my 2, I think mostly because at the time, you know, he had been on staff the year prior for Tiller's last year.
I forgot
about
that.
And we had just had that with Painter and Katie. So I was like, it's working for Painter. It's going to work for Danny.
Yep.
I didn't know, but I was just like, you know, he was a Purdue guy, you know, he had been on staff before, like, you know, Tiller handpicked him, which felt like a, you know, passing the torch. So I think, yeah, I was pretty excited.
And we still had a lot of good pieces. I mean, we had Joey Elliott coming in. Well, at the time, we thought Justin Siller was going to be the quarterback, but right. We knew Joey Elliott was there and was going to be a fifth-year guy and knew the offense well if needed to go in. Joey Elliott was a heck of a good quarterback for 1 year.
Yeah, it was.
Yep. And Valentine was on that team, if I'm remembering
right. T. Smith was all Big Ten that year, ended up being. Yep.
Should have got an extra year.
Yes, he should have. He would now.
Yeah.
He definitely would. I would. This is the one I put my number one. I'm not going to lie.
Danny Hope, really?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember the marketing that Purdue dumped in with the one like logo shirt and everything.
I had that shirt.
I had that shirt too. Like they were pushing like tickets out for pretty much free. I felt like that year. I remember I went two games that year I think the Northwestern's one went to homecoming with you, and I went to Central Michigan. That year, I can't remember.
Played Northern Illinois that year.
Okay, yeah, that was the MAC team. I can't remember. That game. But yeah, we went four. Did we go 4-8?
Five and seven.
5-7. 4-8 was 2008 prior.
But it was real close to being. Webby and I were just talking about this yesterday. Texan, that team was so close to being 10-2. It was ridiculous.
They went. They should have beat Oregon.
Should have beat Notre Dame.
Yep. So
I beat Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah, beat Michigan Ohio State. Yep.
Terrell Pryor, I remember I was watching that on TV. Kerrigan
killed him.
Yeah, well, that was Luke Fickell that game.
Yeah, you're right.
Coaching. So the optimism and the marketing they dumped into that, I remember back then I was like, this guy, like, even what Evan, you said, worked for Painter. Believe Morgan Burke on that time that he was going to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
So I had full belief. That's interesting. I thought you all would probably put that number one. All right, 2023.
Three. Slightly more excited than Brom, but that was also just because it was such a low point. I thought, you know, with Brom, like you said, Ryan was on the wall. We were just coming off a Big Ten championship appearance, and I thought, okay, you know, this is, you know, the first time that I feel like a coach is coming into a good situation. And granted, again, it was transfer portal, so people were leaving, but it was like a coach is coming into a good situation. But obviously, the transfer portal kind of works in both ways, and we lost a ton, as we saw, because a lot of guys followed Brom to Louisville. But I thought, you know, hey, you know, a coordinator that was, you know, the talk of the league. He was an awesome coordinator, young, energetic, you know, thought that was going to do wonders for NIL and, you know, relating to guys. And especially from what we kind of heard, again, kind of like through the grapevine with the Brom family and their thoughts on NIL and all that fun stuff. So I thought I was pretty, I mean, it was like, it was definitely kind of came out of left field. It felt like, cause I remember like, I think we texted like our group Tanner and it was just like, whoa, okay. This kind of came out of nowhere. Like we weren't really expecting that. But just because it was like, we were just coming off, I mean, one of my favorite seasons ever. It's like, hey, let's just keep this thing rolling. Like with a young coach, like screw it. Why not? Let's do it. And nope.
Yeah. I still wish we would know like who else was in consideration. I mean, we saw some names, but like behind scenes, I really wish like, I don't think Walters was the number one choice until he came in and interviewed. And I think he blew him away in the interview, whatever he said and did, good for him. I was shocked by it. I thought it was unique. Purdue going with a defensive guy. They hadn't done that in many, many years. Maybe going back to Jim Young back in the 70s or 80s, 70s, 80s, I don't know, whatever, late 70s, I think, with the junk defense. But I'm like, you know, it was going to be a high risk, high reward hire. And unfortunately, it was more risk than reward. Because I think Purdue was, I think they were scared if they passed on him and he went back to Illinois for another year or took another job and succeeded, then it's like, crap, we could have had him. And you, like you said, NIL portal. He seemed like he got it on paper, and his staff was young, but just
he had produced just like work. He had helped kind out. Of turn some of those like Illinois guys who were nobodies into you know, high level draft picks. Like it just made
in grabbing Hudson Card. Granted, he was mostly a backup at Texas, but he had tons of hype around him. I mean, that was the first thing he and Graham Harrell did. I think everybody jumped on board right away. Just ended really, really badly last year. I mean, I thought he was good to go after year one, but I never would imagine last year was going to go how it went. So.
Yeah.
I was concerned when he hired everyone around him his own age. And yeah. You look at like what Sherrone Moore did last year and hiring Wink Martindale, and Wink Martindale won him that USC game. And having that experience, he should have hired someone around him. And he probably would still be our coach today. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean, if Purdue would have won, I was thinking about this yesterday. If Purdue would have won some of those close games last year, like Northwestern and Michigan State, if he wins those two, he's probably still the head coach.
Or even like the first year, like Fresno State, Northwestern, like yep. Those games like were close. Like good Northwestern, Hudson, if Hudson Card plays, we win that game more than likely.
Yep.
You're Fresno right. State, we could win that game. We're bowl eligible. Like you yep. Firing a guy after.
Northwestern yeah. This past year was overtime, and we went for it instead yeah. of kicking a field goal. And then Michigan State, Edron drops a bomb. He catches that. We probably win that game. So
yeah. Yeah. Illinois should have been a win. Like all, like an all, like I mean, you can call
technically
me
was that in was, my book because Altmyer fumbled. Yeah. He fumbled.
Yeah,
but yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I'll say this. I think we'll close the book on this. I think he's going to succeed. Washington. I think under Jed Fish is probably yeah. the perfect situation. He's going to get another shot.
Oh, yeah.
Going to do well.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets like if he gets Colorado, if like Dion hangs it up in a year or two, like yep. go home to your alma mater. Like it's, you know, I doubt Dion's going to be able to replicate. I mean, not that he had great success already. I mean, he had okay success, but you know, it seems like a good kind of next step for Colorado. You're bringing in a guy who is alma mater and all that stuff. And it's not the, you know, the high pressure situation of something else you might see in the Big 12, but it's still a good job if you can make it work.
And he definitely learned from his mistakes, I will say that.
Oh yeah, that's what's gonna suck is that, you know, next shot he gets, he'll probably do, I mean, hard to do worse. I think he'll do really well at some point. It's just gonna, just hope it's just not in the Big 10.
John Hawks here on YouTube says, I feel good about this group of coaches. I do too, John. On paper it's veteran. More of a veteran staff than Ryan Walters had, which isn't hard to do, but a lot of familiarity with Odom working with these guys. Josh Hinson, offensive coordinator, comes from USC. Mike Scheer, defense coordinator, comes from UNLV, as do a lot of these guys. Vance Weiss, O-line coach, James Shibest, who Barry Odom keeps calling him the best special teams coordinator in the country. So I got high expectations for special teams. Darren Henshaw, quarterback's coach from UCF. So yeah, I think there's a lot to like about the staff on paper. Only time will tell.
Yeah. So let's finish up the blind rankings 2013. That's
the number one. By a long shot.
Yeah.
I was stoked.
Yeah. I mean, once Butch Jones didn't take the job, Hazel was the guy I think everybody wanted. He took it. He was coming off a really good year out of Kent State.
$2 million, or whatever it was, like, oh my god,
huge upgrade at the time.
Yeah, Purdue's playing a coach over $1 million. Like, what world are we in? It was, yeah.
I was around the team then, being a manager still at that point, and like I knew what we had coming back, coming off back to back bowl appearances. Granted, it was 6-win seasons both times, but I'm like, he's got something to work with. The cupboard's not bare. Even at quarterback, you got a guy who's got to be a senior, but he should have been a starter 2 years before that if he didn't blow out his knee. But my goodness, it did not work.
Yeah,
he was definitely my number two, but I remember Hope being my number one. So yeah.
I will say, I remember that. Like, I mean, I thought it was weird at the time, but I kind of brushed it off. I remember right after he got hired, he came for a basketball game and
yep.
like, brought pizzas for the paint crew for us without lining up, and I was in line and I got to meet him. I got to shake his hand. I remember like he would just like locked eyes with you and did not look away. I remember it was like, man, this is kind of creepy, but it was like, hey, he's just yeah. focused, man. He's just ready to go. And he was wearing a suit. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Man, that's
yeah, when that staff came in, I'll never forget that first conditioning practice in February. It was totally different than Hope's staff. I'm like, this staff's more professional. They're organized.
I mean, it's Marcus Freeman.
That's and I'm crazy. Like, this Marcus like, Freeman dude. I'm like, when he ran, I'm like, that's Marcus Freeman. He played at Ohio State. He played for the Bears for a little bit. And you could just tell right away he had something about him. Like, this yeah. dude's going to be something. Like, Jed Heacock, who I worked under for a little bit at defensive backs, he was only there the first year at Hazel. He's been the defense coordinator at Iowa State now for a handful of years, doing well. A lot of those staff members went on to be successful. So that's what makes it even worse. for Darryl. Like, yeah, he had a decent staff. He had some NFL talent, as Jeff Brohm proved. He just was so gone. Like, I don't know.
He actually recruited that NFL talent, too. That was the crazy thing.
Some of it, yeah.
Bentley. I mean, he had two quarterbacks transfer, go to SEC, and start.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the crazy thing.
Yep. Yeah, now both of them were recruited by Hope and Company, but still.
That's true.
But still.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But still, he recruited. I mean, he recruited Sindelar.
Yep.
Yeah.
He that's true. I recruited that. Blau.
He recruited Blau. No. Mm-hmm. Bentley, yeah. Barnes. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
all these guys that Brohm made into talent.
Cameron Day on YouTube. Good to see you back. Tune in. Here we come. Can't wait. Think about that, Cameron. That's still improvement from last year.
It's double the wins, baby.
Yep.
Yep. Still improvement from last year. And your boy Cam Allen's in the CFL playing for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I just thought I'd get ahead of it before you threw out a comment about Cam Allen. So, yep.
It doesn't even want to get across that wide field.
Yeah. Yeah. I like John here. John Hawks again on YouTube. 4-6 wins. I'd be thrilled.
If we win six thrilled. Games, man.
He's up for Big Ten Coach of the Year, right?
I'm afraid what I might do if we win six games.
Nope. Do we want to get into the schedule right now?
Let's do it.
Sure. I got nothing. I should have brought a beer because now you brought up all these old eras. It makes me just want to drink. But that's all right.
I've got my conference points lane. Ready to go.
You guys never did finish the starting quarterback.
Right.
So. Oh, we didn't.
You're right. You left off at 06.
05? Oh, no. We still have to do 06?
Yeah.
John 6. Was that? Oh, man. Was that Kirsch? No, Painter. Nope. Painter. Because we did. Yeah, we did five. The. Yeah, because 2006 was when we did the Rose Bowl 66th anniversary, 40-year anniversary.
Yep.
2006, so, yeah, was Indiana State.
Yeah. Yep. 05 was Kirsch, because then Painter played at Wisconsin later that year.
Yep.
4 Orton, 3 Orton, 2. Ooh, 2002. I guess no, 2002 was Orton.
Got it.
Right. 2001. Is that Brandon Hance?
You got it. I thought it might trip you up there. Brandon Hance.
Transferred to USC.
Yep. Never started a game.
And 2001, 2000, 99, 98 was Breeze.
Yeah.
97, Billy Dickin. That's all I got.
I got nothing after that. So.
Yeah.
Yep. Good job. Good job, fellas. That's as far back as
weird I can. That I can get the 90s and early 2000s a lot. Usually I can get 2021.
Well. A little fonder times back then, even though 21 wasn't bad. 21 is actually one of my favorite Purdue football years of all time. But
yeah.
So, yeah, we could dive into the schedule, though.
I've got my confidence points.
Yes. Oh, crap. I didn't do confidence points. I'll do them in my head. Start off week one, Ball State, next Saturday, August 30th, noon kickoff, Big Ten Network. You guys got a W or an L? Or I guess just give a confidence points, I guess. That we'll do that way.
I got a W for 11
confidence points. Yep.
Same.
Man, Cameron, you are just killing me here, buddy. Killing me here. I mean, Ball State lost a lot of their talent, too.
The portal, what is the spread? What's it? Wasn't it like 16?
I think it's 17 now. I got it when it was 16. So, but yeah, I got 11 confident points on this. Purdue's 8-0 all time against Ball State. Odom's, what did you say, 1-0 against the Mac Lynch?
Yeah, 1-0. Mac.
Real question. What the most the thing I'm looking forward to? I'm not going to be there, which is going to suck.
I'm not
either. I'll be in town, but not at the game. I don't
Lynch is using my tickets, our tickets. So,
yep.
It's on him if he doesn't bring home the win.
Will there be a Ball State High School chant like there was in like 2004?
No, these kids don't get it. These kids don't get it.
No,
man, what a trip that would be.
Yep.
That was great. Yep.
I think I don't think everything's gonna be roses. I mean, I expect it to be sloppy, especially in the first half.
Yeah,
but I think Purdue pulls it off pretty
quickly. Yeah, you hope the talent pulls through in the second half. Yeah, you just hope that you don't beat yourself, and you hope that just by the end the talent kind of. Yeah. I mean, yes, like we don't really know what this team has, but you hope a Big Ten team. Granted, we saw Notre Dame lose at home to Northern Illinois last year, so what do I know?
Yep.
That was the best thing that could ever happen to them last year.
Yeah.
Southern Illinois, week two, night game, 7:30, also Big Ten Network. I will also miss this one. So it's on you to get the win that week. This is my 12-point comp.
This is my 12-point. Now, Purdue drops the Ball State game. This might drop.
That you and I will have some words to say if we lose week one against Ball State.
I might just not come back for the podcast. It might just be your guys' pod from now on. Just
walk into the ocean, never come back.
If we start off 0-2, I'm shark bait. I'm just going to jump myself up and jump in the ocean. We're done.
Better have a life insurance policy.
See you guys. Week three, USC, 3:30 CBS. Only the third time, I believe, the two schools have met. Once was the Rose Bowl, then the 98 Pigskin Classic, which was week zero back then. So first time they've been the Rossade, I think. If not, it's first time in many, many, many years besides the Rose Bowl. So
this is my four.
Let me see here.
This one I'm between Wash. I'm gonna have to agree. This is probably four.
I'm gonna put a five. I'm gonna put a five.
Yeah. This is also just like I'm in blind homerism, but like if Purdue can look good the first 2 weeks, and depending on how USC looks, like first, you know, they're coming obviously the travel. You can probably take that into account. If Purdue starts out 2-0. You'd think the crowd is, you know, one, get me excited that USC is coming to town just because of just who they are as a program. Be cool to see that helmet on Rossade. I mean, it's just, you know, part of college football lore.
Yep.
You know, if Purdue can, and this is a huge year for Lincoln Riley, you know, if Purdue can come out and punch him in the mouth, and you never know what could happen, but Purdue also could lose by 35.
Yep. So,
both teams,
because the talent gap is going to be there.
Both teams are going to be 2-0 going into it because they played Missouri State and who else did they play starting out? I know it's Missouri State, this Georgia Southern. They're going to be 2-0. We're going to be 2-0. CBS chose this game for a reason, because it's two 2-0 teams, and hopefully Gary and Brad aren't filling gaps like they were with the Penn State game
or Notre Dame game.
And it should be a good crowd. If we're produced 2-0, like it'll be
and this
3:30 start, like 3:30 start. Like that's like the perfect time for like, you know, mid-November or mid-September.
This could be Gary's last game broadcasting at Rossade, because he's retired after this year.
Yeah.
Week four, battle for the Shillelagh that Purdue hadn't seen since 07. Second trip up to South Bend in the last 4 years. 3:30 kickoff on NBC.
One.
Yeah, this is my number one.
This is my number two.
It's my number one. Yep.
It's my number two.
Probably gonna be ugly.
Only reason why it wasn't my number one is because it's like, hey, rivalry, you never know. I don't know. Like, I mean, in Notre Dame it seems to kind of slip up, you know, early on. Like even
they have tough first 2 weeks at Miami and A&M at home, but
yeah, so you never know.
Young quarterback who's never started.
Yeah. Well, he's going to have experience by then.
Yeah, but I'm saying in his first two games, I mean, they could slip up and be 0-2. Then their championship hopes are probably out the window.
Yeah, so that's why it's my number two.
But, yeah, number one, if it was at home, I would have it higher than one. But, yeah.
Not after last year and him tearing up our when he got in, started tearing up our defense. I was like, oh.
Lord. I was long gone by then. Oh, long God, but October 4th, battle against Illinois, who's preseason ranked 12th for the Purdue Cannon. I gotta see here.
This is three for me.
Three.
I will say this. I believe Illinois is gonna be playing for the Big Ten title game this year.
Criminy. No.
leave out.
I'm just looking, matter of fact, I believe that they're going to be
playing. Their game at Bloomington is going to be
Huge.
It's going to be miserable as a neutral.
I think Illinois wins that game.
Because I'll have to cheer for Illinois, and I don't want to.
I don't like them.
Sorry, Sonny, from locked on a line, whatever that's called.
I'm crossing my fingers that Luke Altmyer looks great, and the Colts are going to go 3-2.
Oh my god!
I'm ready for it. I
this is my 8 blind homerism again. Purdue plays well against Illinois for some reason. Although I am, what gives me skepticism, and I've said to you that in the group chat, is I do wonder, which Tanner you did, you ended up kind of making a good point too, but my skepticism of this year's team is that the success Purdue had the last 2 years, shout out John, love it, beat Illinois, is just the staff's familiarity with Illinois. And my worry is that now that staff is gone, you know, the tendencies and all that, but like Tanner, you said, even under Hazel, Purdue played Illinois really well. Hell,
it was, beat him twice.
It was 2 wins. So, it's one of those teams that Purdue always plays well. It's at home, so that's also why it was higher up. So, yeah.
This is my 8 as well because of pretty much everything you said. And we get them coming off a bye. I like that.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay, I didn't check their schedule.
Yeah.
I bet this is on Peacock as at night game, or this is an NBC night game is what I'm feeling too.
Yeah, it's not announced yet, right?
Correct.
Okay.
But I bet this is an NBC night game because there's no way Fox is picking this game up for Big Noon.
Well, I do know the following week we're a night game at 7 o'clock at Minnesota.
Correct.
That 7. Gives me PTSDs.
Yep.
PTSD.
From 2020. I don't talk about
it. Yep.
This is my 7. 7.
I agree, 7.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you guys.
Minnesota is such a weird pro. Like, they're either like, I feel like they're either just rock solid under Fleck, or they're just injured or whatever, and kind of like just kind of missing the boat. No pun intended. But it just kind of depends on what Minnesota team shows up. It feels like
Purdue's had good luck against Minnesota lately. Like Fleck was owning Purdue, but Brohm got him up at Minnesota in his last time, and then Walters smoked him at home in 23.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Again, so we'll see what the staff comes up with. I've seen a lot of boom bust just looking at the stats in year one. So that's the thing.
John's drinking the Kool-Aid. I love it.
I love it, John.
I love it,
John.
Northwestern at Northwestern, the soccer field.
10.
On the 18th. This is my 9.
This is 10.
This is 9. The only reason it's 9 and not 10 is on the road.
Yeah. You would think Purdue brings a good crowd, you know, just being 2 hours up the road.
I think my parents are going to that game.
I'd love to go. I mean, Northwestern's one of those, like, football or basketball, I'd love to go. I just never have. But yeah, I just feel like, I mean, Purdue and Northwestern probably be battling for.
Wisconsin's 3-0. Call the win streak.
That'd be five wins, John. I love it.
That would be.
My God, if we have 5 wins,
really, like, which it's been talked like October is the make or break of this season.
Yep. It is,
because November is brutal. But if Purdue can, because we got Illinois, Minnesota, Northwestern, and Rutgers,
mm-hmm.
if you can split that, I'm happy.
Yeah,
we probably end up 4-8 if you split it.
Which like is kind of where I think this team
mm-hmm.
probably will end up. Yeah.
Rutgers on October 25th, only the third time these two schools have met since Rutgers came into the Big Ten.
Wild.
Rutgers beat Purdue at Rutgers 2017 and beat them at Purdue 2020. This is my 10.
It's my 9.
Schiano's a good coach, but I just feel like homecoming, I think this is very gettable for Purdue.
Especially if we're like, John, if Purdue wins 3 in a row,
Rutgers make it 4.
Oh my
make
God.
It 4.
If Purdue goes undefeated in October, oh my God.
Let's follow this optimism for when October comes and we're recording this.
See, John just said this is his last one.
That's fair.
November 1st,
that's bowl eligibility, John. That's bowl eligibility.
November 1st, going into the Big House.
This is my one.
Purdue's played at Michigan a lot since they've played Michigan at home. This is my 3.
This is my 4.
This is my 1.
You're four, Lynch, yeah. You said?
Okay. I do not believe in Shrome Moore.
I don't think, yeah.
And I think Underwood, like, I think this is just a...
They just lost a five-star tackle to season-ending injury.
Okay.
Maybe not tackle, but it was offensive lineman.
They lost never helps.
Season-ending injury. Yeah. Never helps. He suspended week one. You're putting a lot on a five-star quarterback.
Freshman quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, you do have some of your pieces back. You have your other line back. You do have Wink Martindale back. I get all that, but this is a combustible situation in my opinion.
Yeah, I think they lose week two at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And then we'll see what.
Oh yeah, because
Venables is fighting for Venables, whatever. Yeah, Venables. He's fighting for his
Venables,
job.
Yeah.
He's fighting for his job.
Yep. November 8th, Ohio State at home. I think Ohio State. Well, they're ranked number three. I think they beat Texas next week. That's an early prediction for next week. This is my three.
Just because it's at home. That's the reason why. It's not.
That's your reason. It's two instead of one. Yeah. For me, it's at home.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, we always will remember Tyler Trent game, but last time Ohio State was in Ross State in 2023, it didn't go well, and I'm afraid it might be that, that was again.
A miserable day. That was a miserable day.
Loaded all roster too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Julian Sand was the number one quarterback. What? And then he went. If Saban doesn't retire, he's still in Alabama.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is not this. I think it's going to be a barn burner.
And second to last week of the year for the Boilermakers at Washington, Seattle against former head coach Ryan Walters and his Husky defense and Jed Fish. First time Purdue's played Washington since the Sun Bowl, which they beat Washington. They lost to him previously in the Rose Bowl. This is my number four.
This is my six.
This is six, but this is the game I think we can win. If we're going to win a game in November, it's this one.
Okay.
I agree. This is a game around November. Yes, I agree. It's that one.
And lastly, Friday night game on Black Friday, November 28th on NBC, 7:30 against the Hoosiers. This is my six. If there's a game in November Purdue gets, it can be this one. I think IU is going to be good. I think there'll be a 7-8 win team, not another 11 win team. Their schedule's too hard. This is one, even if Purdue's not in shape for a bowl, you can get fired up against your rival on Friday night on NBC.
And Odom's
put a little smack talk out there about scheduling, so you kind of got to back it up. So,
yeah. No, yeah, that's, I mean, I hate putting it at five, but yeah, it's just, last year left a really sour taste in my mouth, and you hope that.
Whole new team.
You hope kind of similar like again the Cignetti model, but just having a team that's just solid, and you know who knows by that point in the year like how either team looks, injuries and whatnot. I think Mendoza is going to be a really solid quarterback.
Yeah, I do too.
That was a really good get. Obviously, they're backing up the brain structure for guys now.
Yep.
As long as it's taken away from their basketball team, I don't really care. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of where programs are at come November.
I mean, they're on the brink of scheduling IUSB on for football. So I mean, man,
yeah, but five.
I think I'm having Purdue go 4-8 wins over Ball State, Southern Illinois, Northwestern, and Rutgers. I think the absolute basement for me is 2-10. I think they win the first two games no matter what.
Yeah.
Absolute ceiling, I think, could be 6-6.
Yeah. I think they could get Ball State, Southern Illinois, at Minnesota, at Northwestern, Rutgers, and then Indiana.
Yeah, I have more confidence in getting Indiana than I do at Minnesota.
I think more likely it's 3-9, but I want it to be 9-3.
Yeah, I told you, if Barry goes 9-3, he's coach of the decade.
He absolutely is. I mean, the conviction this man speaks with, the staff, like everything you're hearing about the staff, I just don't know what schemes we're running. I don't know how the players were going to fit in these schemes. Honestly, we're not going to know until we see it. Because
I'm worried about the quarterback. I'll be honest.
Yeah, like, sure.
I like Brown. This little amount we've seen him, obviously, Illinois game was awesome.
Second half
was awesome. Oregon was, granted, it was Oregon, but it was just like awful. So you wonder, you know, you know the video we heard about the receiving corps today from Nathan Baird does not instill confidence in me. So we'll see. You know, they say they want to run the ball. We'll see. I mean, we've kind of seen how that can go in the Big Ten with a team like Purdue when you're not Iowa, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, with those type of linemen you need to run the ball in the Big Ten. But, you know, hey, it's, you know, that's why they get paid a lot of money.
And do. I feel like if your quarterback's not doing well, you just need to run the option. Put him out there. God.
They might do some read option, but they're not going to run a spread option.
Why not? Why can't we run the triple spread option right now?
Don't think we have the personnel for it.
Out of the gun, you have a misdirection with a pitch guy. Yeah, you could.
Yeah, just email Barry. Just email him with your thoughts.
I'm good. Barry can listen to this podcast.
There we go. We do. I call me crazy, but everything I've read has me thinking that the O-line is going to be the strength of this team.
Yep.
Thought that last year, too. True. Yeah.
But he wants to win in the trenches.
Yeah,
he does. He's made that clear. Because I remember, it wasn't Tom that asked him about the starting center, and he's like, "Oh, we can go four deep on center." And I was like, "Yeah, that's what I want to hear." Because usually when we lose Hartwig, we're trying to backfill a guy, and it's not right. We're having false start penalties. So to hear that we can go, you know, four deep on center, that's great. Because injuries are going to happen on the offensive line; it's bound to happen. Sure.
Yep.
So. You can plug and play, and they can play multiple positions. That's great.
It's going to be interesting, fellas. I think it's going to be another. I don't see Ryan Brown starting every game this year. I could be wrong. Hope I'm wrong. That means he stayed healthy and he's playing really well. I think we'll see games. We see two quarterbacks play, and not necessarily because one is playing bad. It's just I think we'll see some packages for Malachi Singleton if he's as good with his legs as they say. But it's definitely a.
Do you think we see the – was it Hazel who did it or Hope where one quarterback starts the first quarter, one starts the second quarter, and then the
– Freaking Hope. My God. Yeah. Never let anybody get hot. That's what cost us that game at Notre Dame, 2012. Yeah. Or Marv got hot second quarter and come out third quarter, came out with Tur Bush. Then he pulled Tur Bush. Then Marv came in and he tore his ACL. Then I will give it up to Tur Bush. He threw a heck of a touchdown to Tavian Edison on fourth down to tie the game before Notre Dame went down and hit the game-winning field goal. But – Yeah, there's just no flow with that. That's, you know, the old saying, you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one.
Yeah.
Other teams have proven that false, but I'm ready for it. I'm glad Purdue football's here. It's kind of fun when you have low expectations, to be honest. I mean, it's going to be totally different than the basketball season where expectations are as sky high as can be, which is fun and frightening at the same time.
Let November's ways away. Let's not talk about that right now.
I know. I just want
to. Well, I will talk all I want about it.
And the pessimist in me wants to get to November healthy. I mean, we've got practices and stuff before then. It takes one injury, then the season's upside down.
I want to enjoy the moment now. That's football. This is what I want to see the most before my time on this earth is gone. Is a CFP birth. For this team.
I mean, the way this is going, we may, because Big Ten's trying to get.
So stupid.
Like, you're devaluing it at that point.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think 16 will be.
I agree. Perfect. I agree.
I mean, in reality, there's only probably at most, probably in a given year, five teams that are like actual legit championship contenders.
John, I presume you're talking basketball. What do you say, 90 or bucks?
As we were texting earlier today, if he goes and somehow gets CFP, Odom does this staff, he's first ballot college football Hall of Famer.
Honest to God, Lynch, not even that. Like, if he would go 8-4, like 9-3, like you're hoping somehow, Purdue better lock him up.
Because they're going to have to back up the Brinks truck.
Oklahoma might be firing their coach. He's from Oklahoma, the state.
Arkansas.
You never know about, like, if Alabama has a bad year, they fire. And then obviously that opens up a whole
domino effect
carousel. Yeah,
I think the only thing would be if we do go 8-4, 9-3, and Pittman gets fired. I think you know Arkansas is probably high on Odom's list.
Yeah,
being from there.
And, yeah,
yeah.
He played at OU, didn't he, with Boswell?
He played at Missouri.
Missouri, okay.
Which I don't think we have to worry about him going back there. I mean, it's been there, done that. And Drinkwitz, I think it's their
Drinkwitz.
Yeah, he's done a heck of a job there. So
yeah,
he's not going anywhere. So
who was the coach before him? Gary, what was Gary's last
Pinkel. Name? Pinkel. Yeah.
Because he was on Pinkel's staff as his DC.
Yep, and then he took over as head coach. He was on Fuente's staff as DC in Memphis before Fuente went to Virginia Tech. So then he did a good job at UNLV, which I saw one guy today at UNLV making the playoffs with Dan Mullen as like the G5 team. Odom still lives in Arkansas. I knew he still had a house there.
Yep.
Yeah,
because he moved back. He went there after he got canned from Missouri.
Correct.
And then he got hired at UNLV. Yep.
But I think his son stayed, Garrett, who's now in Purdue, stayed in Arkansas for high school, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, right. Yeah, I mean, Brom had a house in Louisville the whole time he was at Purdue. So that's not uncommon.
Heard about that enough.
Before we conclude today, because I want to put down what we have. Who's team MVP? When we come back and look in November, maybe December.
I mean, Mockbee's the easy answer.
Yeah.
Can I give you one on each side of the ball?
Yeah, let's do one on each side of the ball. Sure. Yeah.
I'm going Michael Jackson on offense because I just want to have fun with gifts all year long with Michael Jackson dancing, doing the moonwalk. Defense. Could go Tony Grimes. I'm going to go CJ Madden.
I'm blanking on his name, the linebacker, Manny Powell. I'm going to go him for defense.
Good one.
I think linebacker's going to be an awesome unit for the defense, which Purdue has had probably since Derek Barnes.
Yep.
Offense. Yeah. Bentley. Yeah. I was thinking Bentley and I said Barnes, but yeah. Offense.
Marcus Bailey, even.
That was true.
Offense. I'm going to go Ryan Brown. As I said, I'm worried about him, but I'm going to be confident in him.
If he's team MVP, I think Purdue has a pretty good year.
Yeah.
I think CJ Madden will be team MVP on defense. I think he's going to be a disruption. I mean, the only other thing would be Tony Grimes, but I don't know if he's going to get enough picks and PBUs because they might.
Yeah. They might stay away from him. Yeah.
I have to sit here and think it's got to be Mockbee just based on touches.
Yeah, I mean, so one of us has got to pick him.
yeah. I just hope he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Antonio Harris.
Yeah.
What they're saying about him. I mean, I figured he'd be third string running back. Yeah. And Malachi Thomas from Virginia Tech would be two, but it looks like Harris could be the number two back. So
yeah.
I mean, Dub Jellison said he has more confidence in the running backs than any other unit on the team right now.
Like, crazy.
Okay. Because Jaheim Merriweather, Dub still thinks he's had more talent than anybody in that room. So
that's wild.
Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, my gosh.
I think the biggest playmaker is probably going to be Burnham.
I hope so.
Yeah.
He's going to do so well. Like, he's, obviously, we only saw him like his biggest flash, obviously, was the IU game his freshman year. But man, I mean, they said he's like one of the best athletes, if not the best athlete on the team.
I think he's going to create mismatches. That's the only thing he's like, in the middle of the field. But I just
on the damn ball in the video game, though. I'll just say that
he's good for me.
I just think Mockbee's going to have the most touches, therefore, probably be the offensive MVP. But I would probably think Burham would have the biggest impact.
Yeah, he'll be able to help you.
So
they can walk on with his teammate Luke Girdle next year of basketball.
do we want to do our bold predictions then before we wrap up?
Yeah.
Sure.
Bold prediction then for the 2025 season. And spicy prediction too.
Oh, spicy. I didn't think about spicy. I got my bold prediction. I mean, they're kind of the same. Bold prediction, Purdue is plus in the turnover margin.
Plus. Ooh. That'll be a first based on the data that I'm seeing.
I thought about that the minute we went live. Spicy prediction.
Kind of the same thing in a way.
They are.
In a way.
I don't know if this is spicy, but I want to say Mock hits 1,000 yards. Because he hasn't done it yet. He was close 2 years ago.
I mean, if he has a big season, he can come become Purdue's all-time leading rusher.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I'm going with mine.
Is that spicy? Uh-huh. No, hell yeah. Oh, it's spicy.
Yeah, yeah.
I got one. Purdue beats one rival. We got three on the schedule. Purdue beats one of them.
Sign me up. You remember my bowl one last year?
No, I don't.
It was Notre Dame, Penn State, and Oregon. We'd get one of the three.
Yeah, that's right.
Oregon was the closest one, and that was 35-0. What a moron. Thanks, Ryan. Douchebag.
Tanner, what's yours for the year?
One of my spicy ones is going to be assuming Porath is the kicker. Ooh. He hits a game winner of 50 plus some point. So one of the four wins comes down to a 50 yarder. Hopefully it's not week one or two. My God. Gosh, if it's week one, I'm going to be on the plane grabbing the oxygen mask down for the chamber, putting it on. Bold prediction. Oh, I like that one, Webby. Bold prediction.
Wait, was that your spicy? Or was that your?
That was my spicy. My bold prediction.
Make that your bold prediction.
All right, that's a bold prediction.
Yeah.
Spicy prediction. Purdue beats a Big Ten opponent by 17 or more points.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
So it's either Northwestern or Rutgers for me.
I like John's comment.
Special teams wins two games.
That fake punt that was on Twitter was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when that happened in the bowl game. I'm like, I've never seen that before.
Yeah. All right, Lynch.
Bring us home. Oh, boy.
No, I'm going to be honest.
Amelia Earhart comes back to Ross 8.
Yep, she flies a plane straight out of the Bermuda Triangle, straight in the Ross 8 for our pregame flyover.
Hey, we have rabbits with horns out of their heads and stuff. I mean, an apocalypse is coming. It can happen. John says we beat IU. Shout out, John.
Very optimistic. I think this one's going to be – I think we're going to see 2009, what you brought up of Ralph Bolden. I think it's going to be a Maccabee week two. I think he's going to put up over 200 yards, and it might be 250.
Give him a helmet sticker. Give him a helmet sticker.
Yep, I remember that.
That's your bold? That's your bold?
That's my spicy.
Whatever.
Okay. Fine, I'll make it my bold.
Yeah.
Spicy prediction.
Get weird with it.
I did like that turnover one because that was actually in my mind. We are leading going into half against Notre Dame.
Don't play with my emotions.
Don't tease me.
Don't you do that. What, 3-0? 2-0?
10-7.
They snap it over the punter's head or something?
It's 10-7.
All right. Hey, that's 10 more points than we had last, or 3 more points we had against them last year.
Yeah.
We did score a touchdown.
Remember, hard, smart, tough.
Hard, smart, tough.
Let's move.
Have you bought the t-shirt yet?
Huh? I'm going to buy a week one. Trust me.
Please tell me you never bought a One Brick Higher shirt.
I did.
Oh, my God.
Explains a lot. About you love with the Dale, man.
I wish I still had it, actually.
He was a frequent visitor of 2012 degrees. Or 212 degrees.
Probably had the Player's A manual, too.
I did never hazel my hat, though.
You remember, that's like right when social media was like really starting to boom. They gave instructions how to hazel your hat.
Yep. I remember they gave it during the basketball game.
Well, on that note, let's pay some bills. Talk about our great sponsors that are back on board again for the 2025 and 2026 Boiler Breakdown season, I guess we'll say.
Yeah.
That is Mad Mushroom and The Shop. Pumped to have them both on board. And Mad Mushroom's got the same promo code going on this year. Online only this year. Break five for $5 off any order over $20. They've been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, right there on Purdue's campus. They're known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever any of us visit, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which Aaron's going to tell you all about.
Yeah, it's the Chicken Caprese. It's a blended tomato sauce of chicken, chopped garlic, fresh spinach, grated Parmesan cheese, mozzarella cheese, fresh mozzarella pralinis, finished with basil and balsamic glaze.
Pearls.
No, it's pralinis.
Looks like pearls to me.
No, it's pralinis. Man, okay. You need to expand your culinary background.
Do you know
who you're talking to?
Yes, yeah. I know who I'm talking to, the chicken strip guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Go check it out when you're in town. Mad Mushroom, feed your head.
Yes, and use the, once again, madmushroom.com. Break five, your coupon code for $5 off any order over $20. And Webby, tell us where you got that fine looking shirt and where I got this nice hat.
I probably should get a new ad read. The shop, shopindy.com. They've been serving, they've been making hometown apparel since 2011, started out in the garage. Now they've got three retail locations across Indianapolis area. You've got one in Carmel, one in Broderpool, one in downtown Indy. So if you're in the Indianapolis area, maybe you're coming for the Indy Classic in December when Purdue takes on Auburn. And you get to watch Will Butler when there you go. There you go. I think Indy Classic might be no. I think Indy Classic's after that. You're right. Big Ten Championship. There you go. Or you're coming for a Colts game to watch Danny Dimes light it up for the Colts.
I'm going week two. I love the news today.
Stop by one of their locations. If not, you can go online. They should be dropping the Purdue kind of kickoff line very soon. They just released IU's.
My wallet's hurting already.
Yeah, they just released IU's. They had some, even though it's IU, some pretty sweet.
Yeah, they did.
Some pretty sweet design. So you hope, if being a Purdue-owned company that they're, even taking the next step up with the Purdue collection. So we'll obviously be pushing that on our socials when that does drop. But last year, our code was breakdown for free shipping. We will confirm that with the shop to make sure that's the same. If not, has changed. I know that last year there were some issues, but we will get that sorted out for you guys. But the shopping.com, they do incredible stuff. They had awesome stuff for the Pacers or blue and gold throughout their whole playoff run. They do some good stuff for the Colts or Indianapolis football because they don't have the license for it. But they do awesome stuff for a lot of Indiana colleges, minus the one up in South Bend, even Ohio State. They do incredible stuff. Super comfortable, fit awesome. There's good people as well. Boiler owned, more importantly.
Yes, sir. Yes, Sue. Support both of our great sponsors, and you will not be disappointed. So before I forget, like us and follow us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, YouTube, at Boiler Break Pod on all those. And if you're listening on your favorite audio podcast platform, please give us that 5-star rating and review and make sure you are following us. I know sometimes I'm listening to the podcast. I think I'm following the podcast. I'm actually not. So make sure you're doing that. It really helps us out. Easy way to support our podcast with no expense. So any final thoughts, fellas, before we wrap it up for our week zero pod?
Just glad the college football is back. I know last year was miserable. I wasn't sure if I'd be excited, but I'm right back.
It feels like forever ago.
Yeah, it feels like forever. Probably because it was a very long off season. but just excited for the Purdue sports season to start. Mm-hmm. Volleyball, soccer starting, soccer just kind of kicked off. So looking forward to following the fall sports, not just football. And obviously getting ready for what could be one of the, a very exciting basketball season come November.
Let's leave it for November. Leave it for November. Labor Day weekend is the best weekend of the year. College football kicking off, goes in the NFL the following Thursday. Yep. Enjoy it. There's great games, matchups. I think what Purdue, it's like Christmas all over again. We're going to get surprised. So
yep.
If this team can improve each month, win a game each month, we're 4-8.
Yep.
Auto success.
I'll take it.
Well said. Check us out Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. as we're joining Jonathan Clausen over at the Ball State of the Union YouTube show. Let's go on the YouTube channel. We'll be on there at 8:30, and we'll be coming to you live next week, most likely Wednesday, but we'll confirm that and get the word out on socials. Another reason to follow at Boiler Break Pod. For Aaron Lynch, for Evan Webb, I'm Tanner Lee. Boiler up, hammer down, and let's stay healthy for week 0.